meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Two, one, go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Good to see you, Doc. What up?
Hey, Adam. How are you, buddy?
What up?
I think you're getting ready to drop trout.
You know any of those guys who say, what up?
Yeah, somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that unfamiliar.
What about the guy who does, like, the double and triple dude? Meaning,
dude.
Yeah, like, somebody's talking, telling a story. And they're like, yeah, and then after the concert, we got totally high. And then this guy chimes in, dude. But he misses it. The guy keeps going. So, and we're out in the park. Dude. That's the quad dude guy.
Yeah.
That's my kind of guy.
Why are you making fun of me, then?
All right, dude. All right, guy, dude, bro. I gave the phone number out.
1-800-LOVE-191. Here we are.
That is the number.
We're by ourselves tonight. Just the love between us. It's great.
Yeah.
How'd Jimmy's show go tonight?
Jimmy's show, I just saw the first half hour of his show, and it was solid. Not great. Not bad. Just solid.
B plus. A minus.
I'll give it a B.
Yeah.
That was the first half, and had to split. I was over there all day and had to come over here because they start live at
9.
9:06,
How's
I believe
that gonna
it
work
is.
When you are hosting Friday night?
Dude, we're going to have to work that out, dude.
You're going to co-host with him once a week, right?
Well, yeah. No, I'm not going to co-host with Jimmy once a week. I'm going to do an entire week, and I'm going to do it, sporadically, maybe once every 5 weeks or 6 weeks or something.
What you should
like
do
that.
Is set up your little Zephyr in his little room in the back and
yeah.
just go off the show and go get on the radio.
Still, by the time I get up there and get on the air, it's still going to be 10:10.
You think? I think it has to end at 9:55, right?
No, it ends at 10:06 our time.
Well, I can carry it for a while.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, dude.
All right,
dude,
guy.
Dude.
All right, dude.
Dude.
On the other hand, I can just hop, we can just not talk about this, and I can just hop my car and fly over.
You're right.
You know, dude?
Yeah.
All right, dude.
That's good, too.
All right, let's get to the phones and start it off with Kayla.
You know what else we could not talk about during the opening of the show, too?
Hi.
We could talk about it sometime, like...
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you and I.
Kayla?
Hey.
What's up?
Well, I have a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is a crazy Hispanic lady that is not letting me use tampons because she's afraid that I'm going to lose my virginity and that... You know, that means I'm mature, and that means I'm having sex, and just everything that is wrong to her.
So a tampon would violate you somehow?
I guess.
Well, the tampon is sort of the admittance that you've arrived at sexual maturity, and maybe that's what her hesitance is.
Well, she knows she's menstruating.
Right.
In my box.
What she, she's a Spanish lady?
Yeah.
So what'd she give you, a churro or something? What do they use instead of a tampon? A churro would do in a pinch.
A tampon.
Oh, okay, but I thought she didn't want you to have those.
Well, then pads.
Are you using tampons? Yes.
Well,
Yeah. She's just upset about it.
No, like, she doesn't know I'm using
them. Yeah, she's wacky.
Well, what does she expect you to do, though, if you're on your cycle?
To use pads.
Kotex.
Yeah.
Oh, really? She just actually doesn't want anything breaking the vaginal plane.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. Like, she just yelled at me, and she was just like, "What do you think who do you think you are right now? You think you're all old enough to do this, or, you know, you think you're the I don't know. Like, I don't know. She's crazy, and I don't understand her sometimes.
All right,
you're fine, Kayla. You're fine. Are you sexually active?
No.
Okay. You're just taking care of your hygiene.
Is a pad? I could go for a pad if I was a chick. A pad's
Man,
a pad.
Are you kidding? You?
Why?
It's something it moves around. It gets sweaty. You get lost in your hair there.
Yeah. It's like sitting. Okay. It's like sitting in your own blood. Ew.
Ooh.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not.
Imagine the funk that you would generate too, Adam.
Oh my God.
Ew.
I skip rope for 5 minutes. My balls smell like a hobo. Yeah. Yeah, I could imagine.
Imagine the hobo power you generate.
Yeah.
So how can I tell her?
I don't think you should. It's going to be hard. Your mom's crazy. Is she from Spain?
No, she's Mexican.
Well, she said she was Spanish.
Hispanic.
Oh, Hispanic. Hispanic. Oh, she's Mexican.
Yeah.
What do you guys live in an Oceanside for?
I don't know. Why?
They don't have Mexicans in Oceanside, do they?
You're San Diego.
Yeah.
All right.
There's too many.
All right, what about your dad?
He's in Mexico.
Oh, he's in Mexico.
Yeah. Why? Why?
I don't know. They got divorced when I was three. And
I see. Are you the only child?
No, I haven't. An older sister and older brother.
Now, how old is your mom?
My mom is 42.
And how old is your older sister brother?
Yeah. My older sister is about 24.
There you go.
And your oldest brother is?
He's like 23.
All right, so.
She was 20.
She was, well, no, 19. She was more like 18 when she got pregnant. So she got pregnant young. She's worried about you doing that, too.
Why don't you talk to your sister about it? Just get some support from somebody.
I kind of have.
Yeah.
She's kind of like my mom, too.
Good.
So I talked to her about it.
No, that's not good.
And?
Huh?
Not good for the sister. It's good for Kayla.
No, she said she's like her mom.
Oh, I thought she meant that she's somebody she can relate to like her mom.
Well, maybe.
Is she crazy like your mom?
Oh, no, not really. But when it comes to if my mom says no, she will say no.
Oh, well. All right.
Yeah.
All right, listen, you get your grades up, you go far away to a lesbian college.
But that's the thing. Ew. Okay, first of all, I don't want to, I don't know, everybody says, like, it's okay, you're going to go to college and you're going to leave. I don't really want to leave my mom, or I don't want to go far away, but I can't stand.
For your own good, you need to go away for college. You'll still have your mom, you'll still go back home, you'll still have a family life, but you need to establish an identity for yourself away from the home.
Now, your kids got to understand that you can't really change your parents, especially at 15. Just try to sort of weather their storms, stay out of their crosshairs, get your grades up, and move on with your own life. Yes?
Just thinking, I went to my kid's fourth grade science teacher's little symposium tonight about the sex education they're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Were your kids with you?
No, no. They were just describing to the parents.
Giving a heads up to the
heads
parents?
Heads up. Here's what's coming.
And a little Q&A?
No, just told us what the program's going to be.
And what is it going to be? Now, they're in the fourth grade.
Yeah.
So how?
It's body development and
stork talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it stuff like? I mean, they don't use like penis and vagina. They go like the nana goes into the foo-foo.
Oh no.
Into the smelly place and makes
no real thing, real quick.
What do they say? What was?
And she was interesting. She was saying that most of the kids they already kind of know what's going on. Like you always said,
I always did say that. And what is the boldest thing you heard in this symposium, or anything you objected to?
No, but they raised some interesting questions about distinguishing, human development, which is what the kids are like really fascinated by, versus sexuality and sexual behaviors and sexual feelings, which they kind of can't get their head around.
Meaning, it's hard to talk about women developing breasts.
No, that's what they want to talk about.
Right, but without it taking a turn for the sexual.
Well, they need to know, but they have questions about where babies come from and stuff too. But then when you talk about sexual pleasures and things like that, they're like, huh, what? Why would you do that?
So was there anything you objected to?
No.
Kids are fine?
No.
Any of the parents uptight?
No. It was a good group.
Good times?
Yeah.
All right. Anything, what was the harshest bit of reality that they're going to impart on the fourth graders? Cornholing?
That kind of things like that might come up.
Like sort of devious things?
No, like oral sex and things, and that she appropriately, it just if they have questions, she answers them. Just the facts. Just boom.
Right.
You know, with the question, you can ask them, we'll answer.
Now, what about, your kids have computers in their rooms, do they not?
Nearby, yeah.
So now, if one of your sons just gets up in the middle of the night and types in big boobies in the Yahoo search engine.
Something will come up.
Oh, my God. And believe me, I've done that, and it's crazy. It's over. It's all over, Drew.
What do you mean?
But can't you get some...
Oh, my God.
How do you do a parental lock on a computer? Can you do anything?
Yeah. There's stuff you can do.
David?
Yes.
You're 30?
31, yes.
What's up?
Well, I've got a question, and I'm trying to look for direction with this. Back in 1997, I had a knee injury, and it was a simple torn meniscus, had surgery, and then developed an infection. It cost me my career as a firefighter. I was a firefighter for 8 years at that point, actually a lieutenant. And since then, I've been on pain medication, and I'm currently seeing a specialist for pain management right now.
Right.
When I'm on medication, I can function fine. When I'm on medication, like last week, I had suicidal thoughts. Was actually taken to the hospital by the police department.
What medication are you taking?
I'm on methadone right now.
How long have you been on methadone for?
2 months.
What were you on when you were trying to get off pills?
I started, you know, the Tylenol 4, and it led up to OxyContin. And the OxyContin is what screwed me up because I was on that 80 milligrams twice a day. Mm-hmm. And I was down in Mexico, and my doctor stopped me on it completely. So,
what do you mean you were down in Mexico?
I'm trying to score.
I was down in Mexico on a trip.
All right.
And we left on a Friday.
All right.
The doctor wouldn't refill the medication on Friday.
And
so.
Is there alcoholism in your family?
My dad, yes. When I look back at everything now, he was an alcoholic, yes.
Did you have momentum with alcohol ever, you think?
Say, what was that?
Do you think you had a little momentum with alcohol at any time?
I don't drink.
At all.
I don't understand how the knee injury got you drummed out of the fire business.
I couldn't do my job anymore. When I went back for the physical test, I couldn't climb a ladder. I couldn't lift a patient. I just couldn't do the job anymore.
All right. There's no front office that could slide you over to?
No, the injury occurred doing a part-time job, I wasn't allowed to get my retirement from the fire service.
Yeah, all firemen have other jobs because they work 3 days out of the week, and then they have the rest of the week open.
Right.
I was, maybe I was selfish because the day after I graduated high school, I got hired. And so I worked 4 years as a firefighter and then was promoted for 4 years as a lieutenant.
Do you have any trauma? Wow. Do you have any trauma history? Were you abused in any way or anything like that?
No. Uh-uh.
All right. Well, you sort of are in that hinterland between chronic pain and addiction. And clearly, you have a source of chronic pain. It sounds like they're treating you as though not only you have a peripheral source of chronic pain, but you may also have something called central sensitization, which means your spinal cord starts sort of learning about pain and perpetuates the pain, basically. And you got addicted, or at least you got dependent on these drugs, and you weren't having any trouble with them until you were suddenly withdrawn from them, and then, of course, you had an acute reaction. So you don't meet all criteria for addiction. The family history may or may not be there. You never had any momentum with drugs or alcohol, so we don't know that the gene is present with you. You've never had any consequences, really, from your drug use until very, very recently. Hard to say. Methadone is appropriate for people that have chronic pain without addiction.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Methadone helps with pain, huh?
No, it's a strong pain medicine.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought it was sort of a opiate that took the place of other opiates somehow.
It is, but opiate is pain medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Opiate. Though. And so, you know, David, you're the kind of person where you'd like to see somebody try you off all drugs and really do it systematically and carefully and give you all the medicines that are necessary to counteract the withdrawal and to sort of treat, give you a crack at this as though it were an addiction. If they really evaluated you off drugs and found out indeed you were not, then
I got a question for this guy. David?
Yes.
You're a white guy?
White guy, yes.
Oh, my God.
He wants to know how you got the job.
Well, then it must not have that affirmative action going over there in Seattle.
I worked Seattle, they do. I didn't work for Seattle. I worked for a department like 10 miles east of Seattle, so.
Smart. Well, when I was out of high school, I went over to the fire department and said, how do I sign up, boys? I got a strong back. I'm stupid. I'm not going to college. I don't mind if I catch you on fire. I could have cared less, really, at that point. And they're like, hey, just fill this thing out, and we'll call you for a test date in 6 years.
Did they say 6 years then, or it just turned out to be 6 years?
No, it turned out to be 6 years.
Because I remember when you were in line waiting for that test.
Yeah, they said, fill out this paperwork. We'll call you for your test date. I was like, great. I guess in the interim, I'll clean a little carpet. But phone should be ringing any day now, and I'll start my lucrative career as a fireman. You know, they get all the chicks, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
3 days on, 4 days off. That's a lot of napping and whacking. Get a thing in the mail like 5.5, 6 years later. Hey, your test date came up. I was like, I didn't remember wanting to be a fireman. But I went down to take the test anyway, and there was this chick behind me. She's like an Indian or black chick. I don't know what she was, but when did you sign up? I was like, June 83. She was like, so when did you sign up? She's like, yesterday. And I thought, yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great. That's right. Yeah. This is why, my feeling toward the people who want me to kiss ass because I'm a white man. No sympathy. Everyone can kiss my ass. Josh?
What up?
You're 25? Oh, what up?
What up?
What up, bro?
Quick question. After ejaculating in a condom, how is it possible between 5 and 10 minutes afterwards for a female to then take that condom and squirt that into her and get herself pregnant?
Why not?
Sure. Hmm. You gotta have some compressed air or like a mop handle or something.
What do you do,
put your fingers up there?
I was wondering if maybe after it came in contact with air or...
No.
But
sperm magically dies the instant it's
alive while it's sort of
wet,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to dry out.
So then it's feasible that 5 or 10 minutes afterwards, this can be...
What would you do with the condom when you were done? Just pull it off, snap her across the face with it, and leave the room?
Yeah, pretty much. I pulled it off, and she picked it up and kind of... You know, with a Kleenex or whatnot, and set it on the counter, and got dressed, and I left. It was about maybe a month and a half ago.
And she got pregnant
today, and she told me that she's late.
Well, maybe the condom broke or something. You weren't aware of it.
No, it didn't break. So I took it off. I looked at it, unless it had a pinhole, which I doubt, but you know, that's possible. But
who is this person?
It's my ex-wife.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You had a little maintenance thing going with her.
No, actually, I do have a 6-year-old daughter with her, but I have custody of her.
Do you think that your... Hold on a second. Do you think that your ex... Well, you have a little maintenance, a little sexual agreement with your ex-wife, right?
I hate to admit it, but...
Yeah. It has nothing to do with your 6-year-old daughter, which you jumped to, and Adam suggested you had a maintenance agreement.
Well, now...
I was thinking, you know, when you talk about, like, alimony and things like
I see. And, now, do you think your ex-wife wants to get back together with you? Oh, she has to, or she wouldn't be having sex
right,
with you.
Of course.
Yeah, that's always a possibility.
And you don't want to get back together with her.
Hell no.
Why?
She's just, she's like, comes from like a welfare type family. She doesn't work. She's unclean. She's lazy. I want nothing to do with it. And
I know, except for the part where you go over there and bang her
and married her in the first place.
Other than that, he doesn't care if he ever sees this woman again. We'll get to Josh in a second.
The beauty of men, huh?
But I'll tell you, the beauty of men is
she disgusts me. She's filthy. Yeah, what am I gonna do?
I gotta go break off some ass about this time tomorrow. By the way, there's no such thing as a woman who's like, do you want to get back together? Oh no.
Yeah.
And why? Oh, it's disgusting. We would just gladly go over there and have sex with her 5 nights out of the week.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the difference between ladies and gentlemen. Josh, well, here's the thing. Is she a little chaotic?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's the thing. And
thanks for leaving the child with her, by the way.
No, he's got the child. He's got the child, wise ass.
Yeah.
Let me say this. First off, this is what, when you hook up with chaotic people, expect the worst.
I know.
Over the long haul. And there's
all the listeners, I hope they listen to you.
Yeah, but there's no more powerful way to keep involved with that with a woman than by having sex with her.
Yeah, you're right.
That keeps you smack dab in the eye of the hurricane.
I know it. And every now and then you just kind of, you know, I hate to admit it, but...
Okay. Know. Well, listen, Josh is repentant. He's a 25-year-old man. He has his needs. Here's the thing. All you can do is wait it out. It's highly unlikely that this is how she got pregnant.
Okay. So you got to worry about maybe somebody else.
She's just screwy enough to attempt this. But even if she did attempt it, the odds aren't in her favor.
Yeah.
So you're worried maybe somebody else got involved.
While we were married, she got pregnant by somebody else.
There you go.
Oh.
All right. So that fits more with her history, right?
Right. So that's what, you know, but... But then again, I know that I was just with her a month and a half ago, and it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, listen, I would treat this like it was not your child until the DNA test proved that it was.
How many children does she have?
Excuse me?
How many children does she have?
She had 2 before I met her, and then she had 1 with me, and then, like I said, while we were still married, she had another one. So she has 3, and...
She's had 4 kids. It's just this maniac has produced 4 kids.
She doesn't work.
No, she lives off the state, and she actually has now gone through the public health department to try to prove that she's mentally ill so she can get Social Security.
Mm. Are we... all right, Josh. Yeah. If you'd like Drew to sign off on that for her, he would be glad to fill out the paperwork. Are we not going to put any things in place as far as the society goes about screwballs giving birth to legions of screwballs? We're not interested in that as a society. It doesn't seem like job one. It seems like, well, we got foreign oil dependency, and we got a situation in the Middle East, and of course we got terrorists. And we got prison population, we got unemployment, we got a bear market to deal with, and then we got interest rates, we got taxes to deal with. There's so many issues that seem to come up in the body of a political race or campaign, or
right.
Even just on the evening news, or even when they're just sort of talking on these sort of politically based TV shows. This is not near the top of anyone's list. It doesn't seem to be in the top 40. No. Of any elected officials on the things to do list.
Quite the contrary, it's something they avert.
It's a taboo subject.
Yeah.
Because they're cowards and pussies. Well, it's either they're cowards and pussies, or they're just plain stupid. I can't believe that they're that stupid. I know they have almost no gauge to judge human psyche and what motivates people and that kind of stuff, which I find fascinating.
That's the bottom line right there, right? That's the bottom line.
Yes, you know what fascinates Drew and I? We're fascinated by how this is unfascinating to other people. That's our fascination. How people are trying to lead a society. I mean, this is all you're trying to do.
Right.
As the president, as the governor, as the mayor, whatever it is, you have essentially 275, 280 million people in your country, and you're attempting to get them to work, take care of their families, not end up in prison, pay their taxes, not to drive on the sidewalk. You're attempting to sort of govern these people.
You'd like them to live happy lives?
Absolutely.
Good lives?
Yes. And what we all agree that you don't want them to do is get strung out on drugs, lose their jobs, and crank out tons of kids that they can't look after.
Right.
But to me, every one of these problems we discuss has to do, it all emanates from too many screwed up people having too many screwed up kids. What is the burden?
How dare you? How dare you?
What is the burden that this one woman puts on society with her four or five kids?
Plus herself.
Plus herself. Now, we'll give her the welfare checks, we'll give her the SSI, we'll do all this, but we never get involved with the reproductive side of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people in our society are like, well, you can't do that. You can't do that? You can't? I can't put a goddamn second story on my garage! What do you mean you can't do that? The government's up my ass! They're up everyone's ass.
Absolutely.
All the time.
All the time.
You can't drive on the freeway the speed you want to drive. You turn your stereo up too loud. The cops come over to your house. I cannot grow a pot plant in my yard of my house that I pay my taxes
for. You get plenty for your tax dollars, though.
Oh,
tons.
Jesus Christ. Amount I paid in taxes last year. I don't know what the hell I paid in taxes, but you know that I could have paid $750,000 in taxes last year. Yeah.
You better pay more. You're going to have a problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could have paid $1 million in taxes last year. What'd I get for that? I got anybody in public school? No. Am I going and getting SSI or any of this crap? No. As you know, I don't even go to that place where they keep those books that they lend to people.
Bookstore.
No,
library.
No. Library. That's the one. That's the place. Still should have the name book in it, Drew. All right. Not interested in all the people cranking out all the unwanted kids that we can't take care of as a society. The future drug addicts of America. The future criminals of America. Not interested in nipping these at the bud. We'll just chase them around. Forget about the nest. We'll just come into your house and chase the roaches around. One by one, we won't go to the source, to the nest. That's what we have to do. And by the way, who are we depriving this right of? this crazy strung-out bitch over here who was a subject of abuse her whole life, her life is only ruined by these three kids she can't handle.
That's right.
This she needs these kids? Uh-huh. This is win-win.
Uh-huh.
Not interested, you pussy politicians. You hang your heads. Please. You sicken me, all of you.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. It's back to the phones we go. With Sarah, who's 23. Sarah?
Hi.
Hey.
I've been listening to you guys for years, first of all. I wanted to tell you that, since I was 15.
Thank you.
And I love you guys. But, okay, my question is, I have the worst problems with relationships. They never last long. They usually last maybe a week or two.
Why? What happens?
I don't know. Either I just lose interest or he...
Well, losing interest usually means you're leaving the relationship before they have a chance to leave you. That you're sort of emotionally checking out and not being willing to be vulnerable, lest an abandonment occur. And people that do that tend to have had some kind of real serious abandonment when they were younger. Something like that happened to you? Were you kind of a latchkey child or anything? Were you neglected?
In a way, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your dad not around?
What?
Well, my dad was working a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were both around, but I had a lot of problems with them growing up.
Like what?
I don't know. Like, my mom was a little abusive, I guess.
Okay.
And, I don't know, emotionally and physically. And my dad was pretty emotionally abusive in a way because, I don't know, I just grew up feeling like I was, it's not worth anything.
Okay, well, there you go. And that's pretty hard to engage in a relationship when you're convinced that whoever you're involved with shouldn't be involved with you because, after all, you're not worthwhile. So, and when they find out the true Sarah, they're going to take off. So you never let them see that.
How are you doing in the rest of your life?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
I don't know. Like, when I was younger, I had a lot of problems with drugs, but I've calmed down with that a little bit, and now my problem is drinking too much, actually.
All right, so you're an addict. You've got to take care of that, Sarah.
You working?
Actually, I just graduated from college, so that's something good.
All right, Sarah, time to get some recovery here. A lot of this stuff will settle down if you get in there and start working the steps. It will, believe it or not.
What are you looking? What field are you looking to get into?
I was actually thinking about going into teaching.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Alcoholic teacher. All right, get into recovery.
Yeah, and then the other thing you can look into is some individual therapy if you want. Obviously, one of the things your therapist is going to ask you to do is get involved in recovery, but if you really cannot be vulnerable and honest in a relationship, it's pretty much impossible to have a relationship. And what therapy is about is having a safe relationship and exploring what you feel like when that happens. Then you can go back in the world and have a real relationship. And interesting, one of the side effects of therapy is your esteem builds, you start feeling less worthless, you start dealing with the effects of the trauma, which leave you sort of dependent on mechanisms in your brain that you rely on whenever you have any interpersonal stress. And one of the things that therapy does is sort of make you less reliant on those mechanisms.
What do you look like?
I don't know. People like the way I look, I guess.
Yeah? That's a help. But maybe you know that, too, you know? You rely on it a little. All right, listen, next time you get in a relationship, when you feel like sabotaging it or getting out of it, hang in for a few more months. That's all.
The problem is the only time I ever really like the guy is the time where he ends up leaving.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, no. More than that, it's got to be the abusive guy.
Yeah.
Abuse and then leave.
Yeah.
So it's time, Sarah. It's time to do something about this.
I'll tell you, and this abuse is rampant, so I'm going to tell my son.
Look for the abused kids?
Well, just start abusing.
Oh, your son? Oh, I see. Abuse his female partners?
Well, at least act like a prick.
Because they like that.
That's going to work.
I see.
More often than not.
No, I see.
Mm-hmm.
They're good times.
That's my advice.
Yeah.
Diana?
Yes.
You're 40?
I am.
What's up?
First of all, Adam for president.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a campaign.
Thank you.
Where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Where?
In Leominster.
Where?
near Fitchburg, Worcester.
Oh, near Worcester. Fitchburg.
Holy Cross in Worcester.
Yeah. So it's not a bad place to be. My boyfriend of 10 years is, he gets it up, keeps it up, not a problem, except then it goes too long.
Mm-hmm.
Before, without having an orgasm?
Right.
Is he using any Viagra or anything?
No. Gosh, no.
How long does it take him to have an orgasm?
Oh, probably 10 minutes.
That's too long for you?
Well, yeah, that's of actual intercourse. I mean, we can do foreplay and stuff forever.
Can you polish him off with some oral?
10 minutes of it.
Really?
Yeah, but can't he do the intercourse for a while and then, or vice versa, do the oral for a while? Then
5 minutes of intercourse and 5 minutes of oral?
Yeah, that kind of, I was just, when it starts to be every day, it gets a little painful after a while.
So let's get clear here. What is it you're complaining about? Because 10 minutes is not a long time for a guy. It's a, sort of a average.
Right.
It's a good, about average.
That's a fairly average.
Yeah, but you're saying his sex drive is high. He wants to have sex every day.
Right.
And you're not quite up for this. Is this your husband?
No, I live in for a long time.
Do you want to get married?
Probably not.
Okay. Is there anything wrong with the relationship?
Nope. Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Are you perimenopausal or anything?
I don't think so.
Why, what'd you do? Have a messy divorce or something in the past?
Yeah, we both did.
Uh-huh. So neither one of you's chomping at the bit to get married again?
Correct.
I see. Is he a younger guy?
No, he's 5 years older.
Really? And still still banging the bejesus out of you?
Why not?
He's a passionate man.
That's right.
All right. So your problem is that it's a little too long, a little too frequent, and it's irritating.
Correct.
Do you use lubricants?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got to really sort of explore other ways other than the intercourse, I guess.
Well, there's my other question is, and advice from Adam, maybe he has tried some of those male replacement vagina thingies that you can buy.
Sure, got some in my car.
With stump vaginas?
Why, what do you want him to do?
Well, and then he could sort of do it himself, you know, and we could sort of introduce that when I'm not up to it, so to speak.
Stunt vagina? What do they call it when they... Standard?
Yeah. You mean
vagina double?
So yeah. You'd be all right with him just mounting the mounting the plastic vagina between the box spring and the mattress and having at it while you watch TV nearby?
If that makes him happy.
Really?
Yeah.
So how often do you want it a week?
Probably 3 to 4.
And he wants it every...
You know, maybe he can just masturbate every other time.
Why don't you get him some porn?
That would be fine.
Yeah, let's encourage him. And let him know that it's just you physically can't keep up and he can masturbate every other time.
You got a VCR over there?
Oh, sure.
All right, does he have any porn movies?
He has a few.
Do you have any kids living with you?
No.
Yeah. All right, let him take care of himself with that.
He doesn't actually need a facsimile of a vagina in order to be happy.
No way.
Probably not.
No. My vagina doubles as a hand.
Yeah. Well, the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I never think of it that way. But sometimes I'll find myself riding with my vagina.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'll be driving and I signal with my vagina. Or I use it to, I don't know, tie my shoelace or put my cap on. And I think, wait, I'm getting some double duty out of this baby.
Skillful.
It's nice. Yeah, it's like having a Swiss Army vagina.
Uh-huh.
Write that down, Drew.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's talk to Omar real fast before we go to break now. Omar?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
You want some advice from Drew?
I do. Before I go into that, Adam, I'd just like to commend you for being the only person I've ever heard that can pull off the Paul Puma reference in the middle of a conversation.
Pete Puma.
Excuse me.
I take a whole lot of those.
I miss lump humor, Drew.
Yeah, where they hit you over the head when you ask for lumps of sugar.
Would you like some tea?
Yeah.
How many lumps would you like?
I take a whole lot of lumps.
Then you jump out with the hammer and hit me on the head a million times.
And then there's
the lumps. Come out of my head.
There's a can on the top of it. He has to open with a can opener and the lumps emerge.
That's right.
Exactly.
All right, Omar, what's up?
So my question for Drew is that I'm thinking about pursuing a career in adolescent medicine, and I'm wondering what he recommends, places where I might do an adolescent medicine rotation, or places I might consider.
Well, you're at SC, right? So you could just go down to Children's Hospital.
Okay.
There's a guy, oh my God, Richard. I'm going to get you the name off the air.
Sure.
I'm blanking on his name right now, so it's weird. It's one of the things you know somebody real well and you can't remember the name.
Where's that adolescent? Huh? Is that by County USC?
No, it's down at Children's Hospital in Hollywood.
Oh, that's good. That's better than County USC, right?
It's different. Yeah, County was. Are you a county now? No.
Am I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you guys spend a lot of time there in your clinical rotations?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, boy.
What you see any good weird stuff over there?
Are you kidding?
We see plenty of weird stuff. Absolutely.
Everything. You done your surgical rotation yet?
Excuse me?
You done your surgical rotation
yet?
Yes,
I have.
Oh, man.
I did Saturday night.
Oh,
Saturday night call.
Trauma C-boot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Incredible.
A lot of gunshots, stab wounds.
You name it, we see it.
Three things. Gunshots. Tons of gunshots.
Gunshots.
Tons of stab wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Every stab wound. What happened? I don't know. Some guy with a buck knife.
Right.
Every single stab.
Or the domestic, abuse and...
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. This, again, all sort of folds into my stop having the goddamn kids policy. Because these are...
Cuts down on, the spousal abuse where the guy attacks his significant other and stabs her 25 times and then runs her over with a car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely appreciate that, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I went down to County USC a couple of times pre-insurance and just sat next to hobos vomiting for 8 hours. It's good times.
So what route are you going to take, pediatrics, medicine, psychiatry?
Probably pediatrics.
All right, I'll talk to you off the air.
Okay, great.
All right.
Good times. What's that pediatrics? Pediatrics. I know, but what do you do? You said medicine, psychiatry.
Well, you can go to adolescent medicine, first being trained in pediatrics and then doing an adolescent medicine fellowship, or you can do it from psychiatry and do adolescent psychiatry.
But if you're in pediatrics, don't you have to get into adolescent medicine?
After. You first do your 4 years of pediatrics, then you do a couple years of adolescent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Yeah.
And then you're 34 when you're done, 35. Yeah. You thought cleaning carpets was bad.
Unless clean. Okay, how dare you. Take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Blah, 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 blah. Dr. Drew, Corolla, and Loveline. Phone blah, 1-877-776-LOVE.
191.
191. Ready to get back to the phones?
There we go.
And
action.
Ryan?
Yeah.
You're 21?
I am.
What's up?
I have a little, predicament, I guess. I live down the street from a girl that I met about 2 months ago, and the first night I went over to her house, I knocked on her door, introduced myself, and we hit it off pretty well. And ever since then, it's been a little weird.
Why?
Well, we ended up, talking to each other, and we have a lot in common. We both bought new houses. And
well, that sounds very weird.
Do it! Yes. You both? And, you're 21, you bought a new house?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
How old is she?
21 also.
How do you guys afford houses?
The interest rates are cheap here, and
What do you do for a living?
What's that?
What do you do for a living? He's in Idaho.
Construction.
Ah.
Really?
Yes.
21-year-olds just buying new homes?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. How much was that house?
$87,150.
Oh, my God.
Idaho.
You couldn't get your goddamn bathroom remodeled down here for that.
Yeah, I used to live in California, so
oh,
yeah,
man.
I know it is.
What is 85 grand buy out here? Seriously, Drew.
Garage.
Like, you didn't get a whole house, do you?
No.
You don't get a condo.
No.
You can get a crappy condo in a crappy part of town.
You get a crappy garage. Yeah. Seriously, get like some falling down garage somewhere.
All right, so that's nice. So you guys both bought a new house. You went over there. You sent over the welcome wagon. You introduced yourself. You hit it off.
The great thing, though, Adam, about the housing here is that now the tax code, giving us huge breaks.
No? No. This goes up. Yeah.
You're not aware of what's been going on?
Listen, I can't focus on the government raping me all the time. I will go insane. I just with the spreading of the cheeks and the vicious rectal tearing that's going on in my anus. I just focus. I just make more money. That's my whole plan. That's how I combat all of this trouble.
I understand.
Ryan?
Yes.
Okay. So, did you meet her? Did you have sex with her?
No.
All right. So what's the question?
So, well, what happened was is that I went over and introduced myself. We hit it off pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
We got all that. What's the question?
What happened was that her and I got semi-intimate. I ended up rubbing down in her area and everything, and and we were intoxicated, and she didn't allow me to go any further, and that was okay, but. And it ended there. I went home, you know, walked down the street, went home. And then the next day I went over there, and everything's been weird since.
How long ago was this?
About a month ago.
And so you can't have, like, a relationship with her of any type because she thinks she's embarrassed, she's ashamed?
No, it just seems to me like, for me, it's when I say bye, when I leave, she's already saying goodbye, and she's wrote me off before I close the door.
I don't know what he's saying, but have you gone out on a date with her?
No.
Have you asked her out?
Yeah, and pretty much every time I go over there, she's on her way out, or she's got plans, or...
Do you have her phone number?
No.
You don't have her phone number?
No.
You just go over there and blindside her each time, just rap on her door?
Yeah, that's the way she seems to prefer it.
Have you asked her for her phone number?
No, I haven't. I've given her my phone number, she hasn't...
All right, Ryan, here's what you need to do. Not go over there. She doesn't seem interested. She seems like maybe she has a relationship.
Yeah, something's up with her. Yeah.
Or something's up. You keep going over there, giving her ample opportunity. You keep talking to her about going out and stuff like that. She won't give you the phone number.
Either she's with someone else, or she's really crazy and doesn't know how to tell you that she's uncomfortable with the way this relationship has unfolded and that you're supposed to court her and you're supposed to know that magically.
Here's what you can do. You can wait 1 week from 2 weeks from now. No, you can wait 1 week from tomorrow. You can not go over there in that entire week. You can send over some flowers at the end of that week with a note that says, "Would you like to get together for dinner soon? Please give me a call." Put your name on there so she knows that's the penis she's talking to. And that's it.
Yep.
If she doesn't call you and you don't go out with her almost immediately, done, and done. Am I right, Drew?
Yep.
Thank you. Chris?
Yes?
You're 25.
Okay.
You said you, says here you work for a politician?
Yeah, I did.
And you know why they don't get into any of that reproductive stuff?
Oh, yeah, I know why they avoid all the difficult questions like that.
Why?
Because they're scared. They're scared they'll be voted out of office.
You know.
I've had the conversations with them. I mean, the things people say about, politicians say about the people who elect them behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah. Brutal, right?
Well, you know how, I'm sure Dr. Drew just talks trash about the frickin', well, you guys talk trash on the air about the frickin' idiots that call up. Politicians do it all the time.
Yeah, right.
They say, well, we should write a law about this. But if I did, my ass would be impeached so quick.
Right.
Yeah, but why don't they, commit themselves to one term in office and try to make a difference during that term? Why do they have to be worried?
Yeah, they're spending the second half of their term trying to raise money to get elected to do another term. Here's the thing, too. I should get more than one vote. They should be listening to me. These welfare recipients that are voting, they shouldn't get to vote.
They're the customers, be fair.
I know. This is the problem. They're worried about their constituency, but their constituency are the ones who are benefiting from all this welfare in this situation where we actually sort of encourage you to crank out as many kids as possible. Now, rich people should... here's what I should get. You should get one vote for every 50 grand you pay in taxes each year. I'm going to work it out. I know. One vote for every 35 grand you pay in taxes every year. This is easy. First off, you don't pay at least 35 in every year, you get no vote. I'm fine with that. School teachers, garbage men, who needs them? Number two, if you get to 100 grand, you get 5 votes for every 100 grand you put in. That's it. Come on. Why not? Why not get something for my money? This is fine with everybody. I just pay 25 times the taxes of a school teacher every year, and I get zip. I get zero. I get exactly the same. Where else does this exist in society? I go to a casino. I lose $500,000 at the blackjack table. I got some old bitch from Idaho, lost 50 cents in nickel slots. We both get put up at the suite. That's how it works. She gets her meals comped. Is that how it works? That's not how society works. People who pay more get more. Why is that such a tough, why is that such a bitter pill to swallow for everybody? You want more? Just pay more. I tell my no-count family this all the time. They're like, why should you get 2 garbage men? Why do you shouldn't get an extra receptacle for your green leaves or your recycling. Why should you get any more than, why should I get any more? I pay $800,000 in taxes. That's how come. You want to pay 800 grand? No. Then shut your hole. Please. All right. We got to take a break. I'm fired up tonight. Look out. I may say anything tonight, Drew.
You're doing it.
All right. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191-ER. All right. Let's get back to the phones here, Drew.
Let's do.
I want to speak to Jerry over here because he has a cloning call.
Fantastic.
And I was watching that cult that claims to have cloned the first human being on, like, 2020 on Friday. Jerry?
Yes.
Oh, you sound like a delight.
What's going on?
Well, not much. You know, I want to hear your comment. You know, I want to know what you guys think about what's going on. I mean, these guys are, you know, talking about cloning people and eternal life. You know, blood, memory held in DNA and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get your opinion.
Well, the cloning thing is...
it's possible. Indeed, it is. I believe so.
It's well, Drew, as a doctor, where are we at with cloning,
in
your
opinion? Of course it's possible. It's
not there?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we home?
Yeah, but people have a grave misconception. It's not sleeper. We're not cloning people from their nose.
Right.
We're cloning... Basically forming embryos outside of the uterus. Basically, that's cloning.
And putting your... If you put your DNA into an egg... Now, the egg has to be right as well. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, is this how we're doing it? I mean, let's get some clarity on the whole cloning thing in the first place. If you wanted to be cloned...
Yeah.
They took some of your DNA.
Yeah.
And they... Put that DNA into what? An egg? Do they need an egg?
I'm not sure what the procedure is, frankly. I've read about it before, and it didn't stay with me how they did it. But I remember thinking it's much less science fiction. It's much more about sort of fertility treatments than anything else.
And if they took your DNA and put it into a host so that it could eventually become a child, isn't there a second half? I mean... Your DNA is, you know, your combination of your father's sperm and your mother's egg.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So how could they get all of you without your mother's egg?
They don't. It's not done like that.
How is it done? Is it done?
I'll pull it up on the web if you want to.
All right. But is it done that they take your DNA, they put it into some sort of host that doesn't affect your DNA?
No, I don't think that's how it works. I don't think it's a direct translation of the original person.
All right. Well, I saw this crackpot French guy who claims to have he has a scientist working for him, and he's out of Canada. And first off, this guy's great because he looks like a gay ninja. Like he has that shogun look. He has the beard, and he's bald. But he still has hair on his sides, but he's pulled that all into a nice bun that sits on top of him. And he wears this sort of white geisha outfit with sort of a sash across the, like a cummerbund on it.
Oh, my.
And it's great because he has this incredible French accent, which makes everything he says that much more comical. And it's great because it's like 3 weeks ago, they make the announcement that they've cloned the first human baby. And and of course people want to check it out medically. They want to verify it medically, and their thing is like, well, there'll be none of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is always like, how high are you to believe that you can make this announcement? And then when somebody says, oh, all right, well, let's go ahead and confirm that, they're like, ah. Oh.
No,
we're not going to do that. They always offer some spurious thing. Like, we don't have to. If they for one second thought that it could be substantiated medically.
They'd of course do it.
Of course, because that would then legitimize their claim. But they're not interested in that part, which just makes them all sort of delusional and high. But this guy has a, this guy basically has a cult.
Yeah.
And it struck me. It's a couple things when I was watching a film of this guy being interviewed. It's all about his whole thing is aliens abducted him and that we're all basically cloned and aliens created us.
Oh, my God.
And he went up and talked to the aliens and, you know, they explained to him what to do. And then he came down and started doing this.
Oh, my God.
And they always do this stuff. And it's always sort of passing when they do these stories. They have group mass meditation. They have mass meditation encounters that oftentimes turn into sexual encounters. You know, it's all about getting laid.
Oh my!
All these cult guys.
Oh yes.
Always banging the bejesus out of every young runaway 17-year-old that can get under the roof.
Other males usually have to be castrated.
Yeah, the other males can't do it.
Yeah.
But I can.
Yeah.
You ever think to yourself, why is it only dudes who start cults? Because they want to bang as many members as possible. There's no chick cults. You notice that?
Yep.
Once in a while, some lesbian breaks off and starts some biker gang or something. But that's about as close as it ever gets to a cult. It's always guys. It's always guys that are, and it's not 22-year-old guys. It's guys that are in their 40s and 50s who want to nail 22-year-old chicks.
You know, the profile of those guys, usually most of them have been sexually abused.
This guy looked like he was probed quite a bit by the aliens that may have abducted him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's and the thing's amazing when you look at the footage of the guy's temple and his flock and everything, you see a lot of pretty hot chicks roaming around. Just a lot of completely lost sexually abused runaway chicks who end up at these cults,
there
and then these guys end up banging the bejesus out of them, and that's why they start the cults.
Of course. And where was this? Oh, Anderson wants to go. I'm just wondering where it is.
Yeah, but see, it was in, I think it's in Canada that this guy's cult is based out of. And Anderson, see, you'd be castrated over there, and you'd be fetching him. You'd be blotting his forehead with a gym towel while he was banging his 23rd runaway that day. Still not a bad gig. Anderson's looking at me like, yeah. I think I could live with that. I mean,
he's gay, though. He looks gay, but he's not.
Sexual abuse, ambivalence.
Yeah. Well, he's probably banging some of the guys, too. But ultimately, here's what you do with a cult. You get as many screwed up, runaway, sexually abused people as you possibly can under one roof, and then you systematically bang the bejesus out of all of them.
Yeah.
And this is why it's always the same crackpot guys. And this is why whenever they scratch beneath the surface a little bit, you find out that these guys are having sex. And it's always great. It's like, come here, my child. Let me spread my seed on your chest. You know, it's an honor for them to spread their seed.
What's with the journalists that they don't just expose the crap out of this stuff?
Not only do the journalists expose the crap out of this, but on 2020, he had to call the guy his eminence. And he had to agree to call him like his holiness or his eminence. And then whenever you ask a question that's even close to probing, it's like you've insulted his eminence, and this interview is over. And I always think to myself, why don't any of these journalists, and I think the reason why is because they go out and do these shoots, they're in basically this guy's compound, and they're armed with nothing but some non-union cameraman and a mic guy who's stoned, you know what I mean? So there's people standing, this guy's henchmen, like, end up standing all around him. And this, by the way, happened in
Jonestown
in Guyana. They actually shot, a congressman, and they shot the camera crew, and, you know, they shoot everybody. So these guys are just, they're going, and then the alien abducted me, and the aliens told me to come down and spread my seed upon every runaway girl who comes to my cult, and then we... And then we clone the first human baby, but we'll not be able to substantiate that through DNA testing. And these guys are like, oh, I see your eminence. And then what was your next move? Instead of, are you high? Which is something that these reporters ought to do more often, but they don't want to say that because they're scared assless. Because
they don't know. They don't know how to do. They don't know how to do that kind of questioning. They don't know how to stand up and say, hey, that's wrong.
Are you high? Hey.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, listen.
We got to tell all sides of the story, Adam. Hey, come on.
Fag Frog Samurai, are you high? That's what would come out of my mouth. All right. You really got to see this guy. He's really, really an amazing piece of work. And I just love that this becomes a news. This becomes news. And then when they go back to the desk, they're always like, well, thanks for that report, John Stossel. Well, I'll tell you, if it's true, it sure would be news. Now, Christine LaVar takes us back to a place. It's like, they don't even come back to, when they go back to home base, they don't go, that French fag is high. High, I tell you. They never do that. They can't comment. They can't do anything. Yeah. What is that? Well, how come there's no room for any kind of commentary when they go back to home base except for, well, thanks for filing that provocative report, John. We'll see you next week. They never go, this guy sounds like a fruitcake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what everyone who's watching is thinking?
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't it sort of your job as a news reporter to echo some of the same thoughts that the people that are watching the show are thinking? And I don't mean some of the people. I mean every one of the people. All right. I don't understand why they go over there and kiss these guys' asses. It does drive me nuts. Ashley?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's
up? Every time during intercourse, I always have to urinate. I go before... But, like, I don't know if there's, like, something wrong with me and what the reason.
How long has this been going on for?
Probably about 3 years with the same person.
All right. So some reason, whatever it is you guys are doing really irritates your urethra, right?
Yeah. Well, it's happened with someone else, too.
All right. Maybe I'll just work on changing position.
Why does the urethra irritation make you want to urinate?
That's, I mean, if you've never had urethritis or anything, it gets irritated towards the tip. The part of that is an urgency to pee.
It is?
Yeah.
Even if you've evacuated your bladder?
It's just a feeling you need to pee, yeah.
Really? Mm. Because you could argue that guys are using their urethra as a, pool cue.
They are, but the point, the whole thing needs to be inflamed back towards the bladder for that feeling to be there.
And the women have less urethra?
You're right there, yeah.
Mm. Hey, Ashley?
Yeah.
Well, what do we do about this, Drew? How about different positions?
I've tried it, and I still have to. Like, I always have to get up in the middle to go do that.
How long before you have to do that? How long into
the end? How long before I have to use the restroom?
Yep.
Probably about half an hour, 40 minutes.
Well, this is the problem.
You got to squeeze one off before that, Tuts.
You're going too long.
Yeah.
Your body's telling you, don't do that so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, you have any kids?
No, I don't have no kids.
No kits?
No.
All right. You using protection?
Yeah.
What are you using?
There's condoms, and I'm on birth control.
Good girl.
Ashley, excellent.
Good. You stay with that. Take that pill at the same time every day.
Yeah.
All right. And listen, see if you can, can you have an orgasm?
No.
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 I haven't.
What about your man? Does he have one?
Yeah.
He's got to do it quicker.
He should do it a little quicker.
Okay.
Does he give you oral sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you still don't have an orgasm.
I still don't.
Do you fake one for him?
Yeah.
Oh, good girl.
Better.
No,
good girl.
My God.
Good girl. That's my girl.
Ashley.
That's my Ashley.
What are you doing?
Ashley, you know what you need to do?
Huh?
Now, you fake one every time, right?
Not every time.
Not every time.
Pretty much every time.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time? You need to hold one back, like, every 15th.
Okay.
That'll make it more believable.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Like, you have one every time, maybe the guy gets a little suspicious, but you hold one. Hold one every 12th to 16th one.
Fantastic.
And you go, oh, baby, I don't know. I had too much pressure at work today. I was thinking about my grandpappy. I was thinking about Nana. You know, she died. I couldn't do it. And then he believes you for the next 15.
Right, because that's normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, it just needs to stop.
Although the reality is, guys, don't even put that much thought into it.
No.
Yeah.
Stop at minute 25. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Cassandra? Drew, there's no pill you can take for this or anything?
Well, she could get more involved in this and sort of get bladder workups and see if she has interstitial cystitis or urethritis or infections. But the reality is, that's a long time. She's getting irritation after an extended period of intercourse. And cut it back.
Drew, what is going on, by the way, that you cannot fully... I'm getting up in the middle of the night and taking a leak. What can't I just... And I sit there... I'm standing over the sink before I go to bed. I'm squeezing my bladder.
You are emptying your bladder when you go to bed.
Is it empty?
Empty.
Okay. Here's the question
Adam,
I'm asking.
Look at this console.
Yes.
What do you see here?
I see a lot of cheap, outdated, antiquated equipment.
Besides the electronic crap,
Oh, I say. My waters,
two
and my
cups
coffee.
Of water, two coffees. We sit here and just drink fluids all night and then go to bed. And then you go home and just drink a bottle of wine.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
And then you wonder why you wake up 2 hours later?
Yeah.
Okay?
All right. So when I stand perched before the sink.
Yes.
Looking at myself, oftentimes...
Closing.
Oftentimes multitasking, whizzing in the sink
brushing
and dabbing Oxy-10 onto my neck rash.
Nice.
When I'm doing that and I'm empty. You're saying there's... I always kind of get the feeling, though, there must have been some in there that I didn't empty out.
Because there's stuff just pouring down from your kidney after all this. You can get up 5 minutes later and pull out a little bit because stuff's coming down.
But you know what's funny about me is if I sleep for 8 hours, I get up at hour four and go take a whiz.
Yeah.
If I sleep for 6 hours, I get up at hour 3 and take a whiz. And when I do Howard Stern and I sleep for an hour and 45 minutes, I get up 37 minutes into it and take a leak.
That is weird.
Yeah, it's like, I gotta take a leak at some point into the night, even if I'm sleeping for an hour and a half. That's nice, Hunter.
That's a bad habit.
Chris?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. I just got a question about some mushrooms. Like, I've been doing them, like, probably once a month for about a year now. I just wonder what the long-term effects are going to be of that.
It's not really clear. It's a hallucinogenic, and one of the things that hallucinogenics do is it appears a common... quality they all have is that they damage brain cells, and so the kinds of things we typically see are depression and panic attacks and anxiety, and those things may not start up for a while, but eventually they'll kick in.
Okay.
Now I'm not particularly seeing that for mushrooms, but then everyone I've seen that does mushrooms is also doing ecstasy and also doing speed and also smoking a lot of pot. But it is hallucinogenic, and we do expect there's a whole thing now that's shown that brain cells, when they hyperexcite, they die, basically. And it looks like there's two culprits. One of the interesting ones is the dopamine, which is the chemical that, you know, we use for communication amongst brain cells. And with certain drugs like speed, the dopamine itself becomes the oxidized agent, the free radical that tears through the cells. When it's out there, when you're overstimulating the brain cells, it puts too much dopamine out, and that's that.
Well, so we should probably take it easy on the shrooms. Is that what you're saying,
That's
Drew?
What I'm saying.
All right. And they just, people don't do enough of them to really have any good data. And you're right. Everyone who does a ton of shrooms does a ton of everything else. Yeah. Do Melissa?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You're 29?
Yep.
You got some info on that crackpot Canadian cult?
Yeah, I just read an article about them.
Yeah?
Actually, and I guess one of the reasons that they're not verifying why they're not letting them, sorry, I just ran into my house. Why they're not letting them verify that, like, by DNA about the clone baby is because it's a United States couple that they cloned, or a woman from the United States, and I think it's the Florida Department of Child Welfare Services says that they're going to try to take the kid away if it's cloned, and that's why their excuse is.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, all this information.
Yeah, like they care about the kid. Hey.
Sorry, I just ran in the house.
Sorry, but, baby.
But it's also because they do, 3% of the income of all the members of the cult has to go to this Rael guy.
Yeah.
And they have about 50,000 members.
Oh, my God. How can there be so many?
How is there's a lot of lost, stupid, abused people.
It's European. They're all European, is what the article said.
Well, there's a lot of Canadians in there.
Well, I would imagine so. So, yeah, and there was this thing
it's not Europe, is it?
Well, no, but it's not. The cult base is not the United States, which you would think because it's, you know.
I know, it's in Canada.
Right, so right. You think we're the closest ones, but.
Well, the couple, you said the couple that was cloned was American?
Right. The woman that was cloned was American, and the Child Protective Services said
Right. I got that part. I was just asking about your exclusively European membership in the cult.
No. I just said the majority of it is...
And by the way, 50,000 members with 3% of their income going to this one guy, he could probably mount a legal... battle against the state if the state tried to come and take that child away.
Yeah.
No problem, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
because there's no precedent. They could easily protect that child.
Oh, he wants to build a big alien center and everything.
Obviously, he's a crackpot, but what was the other thing? Oh, the other thing was that the whole alien thing, he says that the human race actually came from cloned aliens from 250,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the whole basis of the human race.
Fantastic. Really? Don't any of these nut jobs just pretend to be Napoleon anymore?
It's too old-fashioned.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, all of you. Don't buy into any of this crap. It's a whole thing on Benny Hinn, the faith healer. These guys are just wearing $5,000 tailored suits and flying around in Lear jets, and you guys are happily sending all your money to these nut jobs. Just stop it. That's it. Everyone, you got any extra money to spend?
Send it to Adam.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I was going to say spend it at the shrink or gym membership or something.
Yeah.
I will take a little break. We'll be back. Line. I'm Adam. That's the good doctor. Doctor over there. Phone number 1-800. Let's get back to the phones. Hank?
Yeah, this is Hank.
Hank, you're 32. Thank you for calling the show.
What's up, Adam Carolla? Hey, I had a question for Dr. Drew concerning harm reduction.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an off and on heroin user for about 6 years now.
Yeah.
And I just did the 90-day detox thing.
Right.
Which went pretty well. I mean, I still got that. Not physically sick, but I still got it in my head, you know, that drive to...
Well, you have to get treated. Detox is not treatment. Detox is a piece of cake compared to treatment.
I never said it was treatment, but, you know, I did the detox, you know, song and dance. But the thing is, I found I smoke a little bit of weed now, and that seems to kind of do the trick for me.
Of course, it's another opiate. It acts like opiate on your brain, so you're off and running again now. Your disease is active.
Yeah, but the
you need
is,
Hank. You need to get in a program.
I've been in programs. I've been in and out of programs, and I've been to a million meetings. I've been to Al-Anon growing up. I was going to Al-Anon because of my dad's a dope fiend.
What's the longest you spent in a structured program like residential?
In program I was there for 6 months, and then I was at halfway house for another 6 months.
How'd you do during that time?
That time I did really good, actually.
Okay, how about getting back into that kind of setting again?
Well, back into the halfway house, that's when I started screwing up again. I had more freedom.
All right, then get into a more structured setting, a residential program.
Well, the thing is, though, is when I get rid of the heroin, that's cool, but I miss the weed, you know?
Yeah, weed is extremely addictive drug.
Well, what if he could just smoke weed and not do any more heroin?
Well, it doesn't work like that.
You don't believe him?
There was a time in my life where I was very functional. I smoked bowls after work.
Right.
I restored Victorian houses.
Right. It's a progressive, progressive disease, and you're farther down the line.
What kind of work you do on those houses?
Oh, we basically go in and fix everything that was messed up over the last 20, 30 years.
Oh, well, fix up things that are messed up.
Take care of neglected maintenance and stuff like that.
I see. You don't fix any of this stuff that was just rebuilt and in fine working order?
Yeah, exactly. We get them ready for the real estate agents to show
up. Right. Well, what kind of work did you do there?
I did finish work.
Finish work?
Yeah, quiz me if you want. It's cool.
You hang some doors?
Yeah, I hung a lot of doors.
Mm-hmm.
66 by 33, right?
66 by 33.
6'6" tall.
Oh, six, so well, it's actually 6'8".
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's not 33, it's 32, 34, or 36.
All right. Well, it's been a couple years. I got into heavier drugs after.
Yeah, hold on a second. Why is it no one knows anything about what they do or did? He asked me if I could quiz him. Told me it's a 33-inch door that was 6'6".
But you made the point for him, which is that his disease has progressed. It's amazing. He can't work anymore because he's severely strung out on drugs.
Yeah.
I have a good job as a hotel desk clerk right now.
All right.
And Hank, right. It's you smoke. Here's what I promise you. You smoke pot, you will go back to heroin, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Yeah. That's just the way this disease works. That's just the way it works.
I think down the line, I probably will go back to heroin, but right now I'm not.
All right. Well, listen. The harm, what you asked about was harm reduction.
Yeah.
And if you are an untreatable case, mm-hmm. you've tried everything, and if for whatever reason, it sounds like you are quite capable of sobriety if you throw yourself into it. You've just decided you don't want it.
I don't like being sober.
Right. And so in that case, then harm reduction is a viable option for you. But you get put on methadone, you'll be on methadone the rest of your life.
That's the thing, too, is I don't want to get screwed up in that methadone either. I mean, I did a 90-day detox. And
you got to do something, Hank. You know? I mean, listen, you don't want to get screwed up the methadone. You don't want to get sober. You don't want to do heroin. You don't want to
smoke a little weed and have a glass of red wine with dinner.
Well, that'd be great, except for you can't do that.
Sure I can.
Well, then what's the problem? I smoke a little weed and drink a little red wine with dinner.
Well, look at you.
There you go. I know that a door is 6'8", and it's a 3-0.
All right.
But please. Hank, here's what I can guarantee you: it will not stay there. That is a biological
obviously.
Reality of this
disease.
Oh,
listen! If you think you can drink a glass of red wine with dinner and smoke a doobie after a long day's work, so be it. We're not telling you not to do that, but you can't do that.
I did in the past.
Oh, you did in the past,
until,
and then
until
you got
somebody turned me on to some tar and told me it was opium.
Yeah,
and
but
I was
Hank,
like,
all right, that was you have a much more progressed disease now.
Yeah.
And you can't control it anymore. I
realize. I realize. It's
all right. So,
damn sure.
Okay. And so you can't just get by with the pot and the alcohol anymore. It will not biologically stop there. That's a function of the drive centers in your brain. Don't have time to get into the details about it, but we know exactly where it occurs and why it occurs, and it's a biological reality. You wish you could be a normie. You wish you could go back. You wish you could maintain that relationship with the drug you love. You can't.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, you can't. Right. You can't, Hank.
Hank.
You can't.
Hank, more importantly, the thickness of an interior door.
The thickness, it depends on what an interior door?
Mm-hmm.
What is it, 2 7/8?
Oh, Hank.
Am I wrong?
You're high now, aren't you?
Hey, I used to work on these shacks in the Berkeley Hills, man. They were non-code.
I thought you were restoring Victorian mansions. There we go. All right, you're right, Drew. You guys got to get off drugs. 2 7/8? Oh, boy. Yeah, he needs help. Drew, have you ever met anybody who's called this show, who's professed to be something?
And known anything about what they profess to be? No, not on this show.
What I'm interested in how that's working in society in general, where people just seem to know zero about whatever they did or do. What is that?
They don't call radio shows.
Hank wanted to argue why he could smoke a little bowl. Drink a little wine. It's all cool. Oh, Hank was a mess.
Yeah.
Hey, methadone for the Hanks of the world?
He may be.
He doesn't really seem that interested in.
Here's the reality.
Up.
If Frank would get
Hank.
Hank would get off his crap, and just trust other people and follow some direction, he would do great.
Right.
But he's not about to do that because his dad was a junkie and beat the crap out of him, and he can't. He can't get over that. He can't get through that.
Is Hank stupid? I mean, and we don't touch on this enough, but if you don't got the horsepower upstairs, is that part of the problem?
Part of it.
Okay.
Sometimes.
It struck me that way. Ashley?
Yes.
Ooh. You're 18?
Excuse me?
Oh, wait. We
A,
got,
B, C, D.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Do the alphabet for us, Ashley.
Oh, no. Yes, I'm 18 years old.
Do the alphabet for us.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
No. Do it like you mean it.
You're going to make me say the alphabet?
Slowly.
A, B, C.
Do it sing-songy. Sing-songy and slowly.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Are you happy now?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, come in.
Would have been better if you'd actually gotten to R and then said, are you happy now? You know what I'm
That'd
saying?
That'd be a really cute idea.
Yeah. We'll try that next time. What's up, Toots?
And I just want to say that this whole cloning baby thing is a big hoax, and scientifically, it couldn't be done. Like,
yes.
Technically, because in order to clone a baby, they'd have to take the sperm cell and the egg cell and then make them form the zygote.
Right.
And then clone that. And then you could have that clone, which technically would just be identical twins.
So you can't form...
You can't, like, take a hair cell or a blood cell or an egg cell out of a mother and expect to be able to clone a baby that's going to be exactly the same thing as the mother, because you have to have the stem cells in order for the organ production to take place.
What's this have to do with the alphabet?
I don't know. You're wanted me to say alphabet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they've technically not overcome that issue yet.
They haven't overcome that issue yet. Yeah.
There's some guy in Italy who claims he's some scientist who claims he's a couple of weeks away from overcoming whatever he has to overcome. But Ashley, you sound like a delight.
Oh, well, thank you.
You a petite gal?
Yes.
I like that. Makes my junk seem big.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, I do.
Ashley, explain.
You going to college? You sound smart.
Yes, I am going to college. I'm going to go straight through college. And
I'm confused because...
PhD.
I'm confused because you're calling from Northridge.
Yeah.
But you're not going to Northridge, are you?
I am right now, but in 2 years I want to transfer to the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get out of that Northridge. You're way too smart for that school.
But listen, explain again. So they take the cytoplasm of an egg. This is what they claim to have done.
Mm-hmm.
And they take the genetic material from some, a stem cell of a person?
What do you mean? For the baby that's being cloned?
Yeah, if they want to clone an adult, say they want to take an adult and clone them, do they have to get a stem cell nucleus?
Yeah, they would have to get a stem cell nucleus. But the thing is that the stem cells are specialized to form into certain organs.
Right.
And they haven't determined which stem cells and which DNA and which stem cells would form into those certain
organs. There's no primary stem cell. There's no stem cell that can go into everything.
Exactly.
There's hematopoietic stem cells, and there's liver stem cells. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks, baby. We rarely ever get calls that shed light on anything we talk about on this show.
Oh, well, I don't know. I'm just really sick and tired of this whole debate, because it's a big fake publicity stunt for the cult to get more people to join it so that this big head alien guy can get more money.
I mean, how cool. Have you seen this guy, Ashley?
No, and I don't particularly wish to.
No, you got to see him. You got to see him. Yes, you're intelligent. You got to see this guy, Samurai Fag, from France. It is a great look. Get this guy in the net, Anderson. Whip this guy up, Lauren. Find this guy. Big alien head guy.
What's his name?
Raelian cult.
The Raelian cult.
How do you spell Raelian?
I don't know.
Tara's got it.
You figure it out. Where do you get a look at this guy? He really looks like he's from a bad SNL sketch from the 70s.
French frog fag. I'm going to type it in right now.
Yeah, French. He'll come up. All right.
Boy.
I don't know. All I kept thinking about when she was talking about egg cell and a stem cell and an egg cell. I was thinking egg salad. I love egg salad. I don't eat enough egg salad. Why don't I order egg salad?
I always order a burger,
pastrami. I eat too much turkey. I eat like 70 pounds of turkey for every ounce of egg salad I eat.
Yet I
like egg salad more.
More egg salad.
I wonder if they should. I feel weird going into a restaurant and ordering an egg salad sandwich. Man, the whole time she's talking about stem cells, that's where my brain is going. I guess I could make egg salad at home. Jimmy makes a good egg salad. I wish he'd make that. I wonder if he's going to make egg salad now that he's doing the new TV show. I bet he won't make it as much. I guess he could get his assistant to make the egg salad. Yeah, but it's not the same. That was my internal monologue while you guys were talking about.
Remember that show Herman's Head?
Yeah.
I need Adam's Head.
But you do admit you like egg salad, yes?
Oh, yeah, I do. A little Dijon mustard in that mix.
Yeah. And you do... It's nice when you lightly toast the bread as well. And it's all right with a thin piece of cheese on there as well. Mm-hmm. Piece of tomato is nice, too. And lettuce is nice, too.
All right, we're going right now.
A little fresh ground pepper on there. Here's all I'm saying. Why don't we eat more egg salad?
Because we've been indoctrinated about fat and cholesterol. It's mayonnaise and eggs.
Yeah, but, you know, you can whip up some egg salad with using just a light amount of mayonnaise, and you can use that stuff that's, like, sort of low whatever. I know, but it's not, you know, it's protein.
Listen, eggs have gotten a bad rap. They're probably less of a problem than we thought.
Right. All I'm saying is wouldn't you say egg salad is the number one sandwich that people don't eat that they actually like?
Yes, but kids don't like it, too, and kids sort of...
Yeah, but when you're a kid, that's the only time you eat egg salad.
Yeah.
It's very ironic that you grow up on egg salad, not really liking egg salad, and then you become adult and you shun egg salad.
And you like it.
Yet you crave it. It's the salad your body craves, egg salad.
You know where you eat it in, like, New York City.
You know, here's the only way you eat egg salad. The only way you eat egg salad is when you go to one of these meetings where it's like, 12 or 15 people meet around somewhere for lunch to talk, and someone brings a sandwich spread, and they got, well, there's five of these egg salads, and there's five pastrami, and there's five. Then you'll get the egg salad. You can't go. When's the last time you ordered egg salad in a restaurant?
Never.
All right. Let's do that. Let's make a, let's
right
commit
now.
To it.
Right now.
Oh, Drew, how fast would you eat some egg salad? All right. Anderson, you got an egg salad in that locker?
It smells like egg salad when you open that fridge back there.
All right. Anderson, you like egg salad?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Brian? Yeah? Tara don't call me Tara, goddamn. You gonna like egg salad?
She said she has to put relish in hers, though.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Yeah, yeah.
A little bit. Dab of relish. Yeah. That's nothing but a little sweet.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. You know, the big problem with the egg salad, though, Drew, truthfully, is stuff doesn't go with it that well. Like egg salad and fries.
No.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Egg salad and potato salad? Egg salad and coleslaw? No.
That's the problem. This is the problem with egg salad. Doesn't it? It's not good. It's like, oh, you get the egg salad and a nice bowl of tomato soup to dunk it in.
No,
that's the problem.
You need to invent something.
Okay, I'm going to do some work with the egg board.
Don't you have to be kind of gay to like it, too, because it's kind of like cum?
Egg salad?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of cum.
No. I think you're gay if you think it reminds you of that. Yeah, if it reminds you of that.
Nick.
I never thought of that.
Here we go.
All right. Cassandra?
Hi.
Hi, ooh, sweetie.
Hi. I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I'm 16, and I was seeing a 26-year-old for a while.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do some gambling.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Money?
Yeah. All right. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right. We're gambling on Cassandra's past. Not what her call is today, but what went on in the past. And Daddy's gone, but was there some abuse? Sexual abuse?
Now, what do we know Daddy's gone?
I think Daddy's got to be gone.
I get that loud and clear.
Yes. I say sexual abuse.
Yeah, me too. Home. Let's get real specific here.
I'm just going, I'm going dad. You want to go neighbor?
I'm going to go, like a stepbrother or something.
All right. Cassandra?
Uh-huh.
Where's your dad?
He's here.
Oh, no way.
Damn. He ever sexually abuse you?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Your dad did?
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord, thank you.
And
wait a minute. Give me that money, by the way, Drew. And that was Drew's impulse as well. He just had to pick a second one. And of course, I'm kidding. When did he do this, and how long did he do this for?
I was younger, probably from the time when I was about 4 till I was about 12, maybe.
Wow, 12.
Does anybody know about this?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I recently told my mother, and... she didn't believe me.
Well, your dad's still there?
Yeah.
And,
wow.
And what kind of sexual abuse? I mean, did you guys have sex?
Yeah.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just say this first, Cassandra. I'm sorry this happened to you. It doesn't make you responsible for it.
Right.
I know sometimes you feel somehow that it takes two to tango or something like that. And
but really what kids start to feel is if they weren't so evil, this wouldn't have happened to them. They
well,
made
that's
their,
how I do feel.
Yeah.
All right, whatever those thoughts that you have are, wash them from your mind. And I wish that was possible. But you have two genius, one genius adult here and another doctor telling you that you need to listen to us now. your dad is a very, very sick. Bad and sick man, and that you were a victim, just no different than if you were sitting at a red light in your car and some drunk driver came. I was going to say, T-boned you right in the side.
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your fault.
You've never had any treatment for this.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, a couple weeks into the relationship with this 26-year-old, I was raped.
By him?
By him. Mm-hmm. And I told my mom, and she believed me, but she said that, you know, since I went behind her back and I dated him and, you know, I lied to her about, like, when I was going out and stuff, that it was my fault and that I was responsible.
Well, your mother married a sexual predator.
Yeah, but now I don't know what to do because, first of all, I mean, I have, like, medical problems. Like, he didn't just, like, rape me, you know, like, normally. I mean, he also, you know, raped me, like, my rectum?
Anal.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy sounds like such delight, doesn't
but
he?
But no accent that she got him.
And, like, now, I mean, I'm having, like, constant bleeding, and I don't know, I feel devastated. And on top of all this, I mean, I have, I'm anorexic, and, like, I need help, and
Yes, you do. You need to... Are you in school?
I'm sorry?
Are you in school?
Yeah, I go to a private Christian school.
Is there someone you can talk to there, a counselor or something?
Well, see, this is the thing. I would and I want to, but I, like, don't want to risk, like, social services.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, and we'll get to these problems. But what's your dad do for a living?
He's a lawyer. Criminal justice.
Oh, my God. Defense?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then my mom is a homemaker. She just stays at home.
Does your dad have a problem with alcohol?
No, he was severely abused.
As a kid.
From what I understand, when he was younger. I mean...
Yeah. I wonder if your mom was abused as well.
Oh, sure.
Actually, she came from, like, a Marsha Brady family.
Yeah, but there's...
But Stepford Marsha Brady.
People think your family is a Brady Bunch family, too.
Well, you have the image, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what your mom's family looked
like.
And
we all know what the truth is. And why did your dad... Why do you think your dad stopped abusing you?
Well, there was... my mother never knew, like, anything about this until I told her recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her before I was going on a long extended trip to Europe for 3 months. So
hold on, I'm jealous now. I never got any European trips when I was 16.
You could have been raped anally.
I don't care. I would have seen Europe. I went to Europe. I was 38, and I paid for it my goddamn self.
It wasn't worth it, trust me.
I don't know.
But, yeah, so I told her then, and, like, before she had no idea, and the reason why he stopped was because there was an episode where, I mean, he hit me, like, really, really bad. And, I was really, really hurt, and she was there, and she witnessed it, and we went into therapy. And we got help, and basically he and I just completely cut off. There's no...
And you didn't tell that therapist what was happening?
No. Well, I told her about him hitting me. But
you got to get back to that therapist.
I'm afraid to, though, because, like, you know, I have, I don't want to be put into, like, foster care or anything.
All right, you won't. You're 16 years old.
18.
I'm going to be 17 tomorrow, actually.
All right.
your grades at school are?
I have straight A's at school.
Okay. Straight A's. And you're planning, you're going to private school, you're going to go off to college?
Yeah, I'm hoping to go to Dartmouth.
Can you? So you can go. You can go far away. I'm calling from San Diego. No, you got to get therapy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about
you
that.
You have to. This, you'll not be able to make that transition.
It would also be great if you could report this guy who raped you to the authorities.
Sort of stopping such a good victim.
I know. It's just I actually went to the police station to file a report.
Good.
And I talked to this officer about it, and I guess I'm kind of afraid to, though, to follow through with it, because I don't know if I could, like, face him in court and testify, and there's, like, no evidence, because the first thing that I did was take a shower.
Mm. And did this happen how long ago?
Maybe a month ago.
Oh, boy. All right, you're still bleeding.
What?
And you're still bleeding rectally?
Yeah, and it's really heavy, and it's really painful.
Oh, you have got to, listen. This is ridiculous, Cassandra. You've got to go see a doctor. You've got to get a therapist. You just have to do it. This is no.
Yeah. No, this is. Yeah. Hate to hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to first go to a physician to take a look at you medically.
Yep.
And
God knows, they may have infected her with something. Who knows? I mean, who?
Oh, these
knows?
Guys, these 26-year-old guys. You just like to take a pickaxe and put it through this guy's temple.
Yeah.
You just hate these guys. I want his name on record.
Of course.
I mean, maybe it's too late to do anything to this guy, but Jesus Christ, can we put this guy... get this guy's name. Go to the cops. Call. Drew, what's a number or something? Can she go to, like, Planned Parenthood or something and have a look-see?
No, she really needs. She needs a comprehensive medical evaluation, not just the Planned Parenthood. She really does.
All right,
she's going to need an endoscopy.
Go to your doctor. Go, please get some therapy.
She's got to begin talking. Call that therapist you were seeing before. Get back involved with him or her.
Don't blame yourself.
Just start talking.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, they're not going to take you out of the home.
All right, we'll be back.
There you go.
I want to give some thanks for thanks to Stu. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones and the coffee and the water. Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job on all the same things that Brian does a great job on. I want to thank junior assistant mini producer Lauren for...
Having the studio moved.
She's having the studio moved, and her dying devotion to Tori Amos and obsession of that. And, of course, the magic fingered one. Liberace of the potentiometers, everybody.
And Ann.
Can we please just drop the lib, though?
Yeah.
Don't even thank me if that's the case.
Engineer Anderson, who without him, the show would not be possible, except for tomorrow night when we found a suitable replacement for him.
Dick
for
less prick.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Come here, my child. Let me spread my seed on your chest.
This has been Loveline. Opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.